Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Hentai Corner. We're doing Dead Days, as I said. We're probably gonna do this till about 2:15. That's 1:15 where I'm at. Now this is a story-driven one, so there is some hentai in it, and there might be some darker scenes, so if that show up, you know, please just use discretion. If it's not something you wanna see, just hop off. It's all good. Alright. From the moment she opened her mouth, I was already annoyed. She seemed to have something against me lately. Is it alright if I ask something about what happened the other night? Coming back to school seems to mean you're feeling a little better. Also, I think I have a right to know. You have no idea how worried I've been ever since that phone call. She began listing points in her incredibly roundabout way of talking. So how should I handle this? Naturally, telling her the truth wasn't an option. Especially not with this one. I felt like she'd have to flaunt how noble she was and pointlessly drag a bunch of other people into it, making it an even bigger hassle. Worst case, I might end up in a situation where she genuinely doubted my sanity. Just the thought of it annoyed me. What? You want to know what I've been dealing with? With a sigh, I gave a response that would hopefully evoke some pity. Yes. Of course I want to know. Maybe she was taken off guard by my reply, but Mal eagerly nodded her head. Even though I could see genuine heartfelt concern in her eyes, I was still irritated. Actually, I have a favor to ask. Her breath seemed to stop. Will you let me do it with you? Just like that, her expression stiffened. The truth is, I haven't been able to get off for a while now. I was hoping I could get some help with it. I don't care who, as long as it's a girl. That was technically true. Part of the cost of being an imitation human was that abnormal sexual arousal. Anytime my mind wandered at school or at home, I started instantly getting hard. I see. I wasn't sure if she could see the raging boner in my pants, but her gaze quickly turned frigid. You're always calling me short or fat. I'm surprised you saw me that way. Shocked, even. I'm glad. It's a relief to see you're your usual self. She spoke with a cold, fake smile, looking at me like she might look at a piece of gum on her shoe. I don't care if you die. You're the worst. And then she rightfully turned her back on me and walked away. She never looked back. Man, what a fucking pain. Well, at least that's settled. I was glad to finally be rid of her. Getting Mal off my back came as a bigger relief than expected. I guess she irritated me more than I thought. And with that thought in mind, I started back for the classroom when an alert sounded on my phone. My heart froze. It was notifying me that I had a new message on the mysterious app that had somehow been installed. With nervous, sweaty hands, I pulled my phone out. Good afternoon, everyone. Has anything strange happened lately? No, not really, unless you count dying. Sorry for the short notice, but you have work tonight. Please assemble at 2200 at the park on the west side of Ikebukuro Station. Participation is entirely voluntary. I will be in touch. I finished reading the messages. A sense of rage and nausea welled up inside me. How is this voluntary? If we didn't participate, we wouldn't get charged, right? And then, all we could do was die. Fuck. Bastard. Work. In other words, tonight I have to kill another one of those things they called specters or whatever. I tried to forget what happened 3 nights ago, but it was burned into my memory. Just remembering the completely human feel of its flesh and the smell of its blood made me sick to my stomach. I wonder if I should get in touch with the others just in case. Did you see all the messages? I guess I'm going. I don't want to, though. I shot off a couple of messages to the others in the group. Not long after, replies started popping in. Let's do this! I told you to stop using stickers. That includes emojis. Okay. Just talk normal. Oh, are you trying to say okay? I'm planning to go. I wish it wasn't so late at night, though. Manami has to work in the morning, am I right? Both girls had responded that they were going. Only one person left. Despite the messages being marked red, Tengen still hadn't replied. What a fucking dead weight. When you read something like that, you respond immediately. Well, maybe condemned criminals have different priorities than I do. Just thinking about it made my head hurt. It wasn't some trivial matter to be dealt with later, either. If a criminal vicious enough to kill 10 people somehow got his memories back or reverted to his original nature, I shuddered at the thought. Damn. It's hot. I'm going back inside. I turned back towards the classroom like I was trying to escape the blinding sunlight. And then that night, I went home for dinner and then crashed in my room until it was time. I left the house just after 9 and took our neighborhood's private rail line to Nappori Station, where I transferred to the JR line. From there, I took the Yamanote loop to Ikebukuro. Leaving through the station's west gate, I arrived at a public park, more like a plaza with a giant fountain. I'd arrived early just to be safe, but went ahead and looked around for the others. I scanned the area around me. It was a weeknight, and there were street musicians and performers scattered here and there. There was one girl in particular, cheerfully singing and playing guitar, who annoyed me for some reason. Seeing someone with that much energy when I was so frazzled made me genuinely wish she would just drop dead. Manami eventually arrived 5 minutes before the appointed time. Damn, those things were massive. Hey! Ira showed up late. Now there was just one last person to worry about. I checked the app on my phone, but he still hadn't replied. Oh, we're all here, Ira said, looking in my direction, and I turned to look behind me. There was Tengen, standing there for who knows how long. Oh, sorry. I gotta change the mic setting. There we go. You need to respond to our messages. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. I told him off, but I was suddenly getting cold feet. Ever since I learned he was a convicted murderer, dealing with him felt like handling a live bomb. A message popped up in the group chat, almost as if they knew we had assembled. The timing was so perfect, I knew they had to be watching us from somewhere. Good evening. Now that you've all assembled, let's commence tonight's work. A bag of tools has been left in the fountain for you. I recommend you complete this job quickly. In the fountain? Seriously? Wasn't that kind of conspicuous? We rushed over to the circular fountain in the center of the park. Straining my eyes to see through the water in the darkness, I spotted a black plastic trash bag sealed up with packing tape down at the bottom. Tengen stuck his arm in the water to retrieve it. Tearing open the wet plastic, he pulled out an unassuming duffel bag. We moved over to the corner of the park so he wouldn't stand out and unzipped the bag to find... Whoa. For real? I reached inside and gently pulled out the contents. It was full of heavy, hand-sized batons from tightly woven strips of leather. There was one for each of us. Attached to each grip was a wrist strap. They were probably filled with lead or something, a stiff spring too. Heavy and flexible. In other words, you could really fuck someone up with one of these. I seem to remember they called them billy clubs or blackjacks. Gangsters used these for robberies and assaults. Wait, these are weapons, right? Are they telling us to use these? That seems to be the case. I gently tapped it on my own wrist to test it out, and it hurt so bad it almost brought tears to my eyes. Hitting someone in the back of the head full force with one of these would probably kill them. No, that wasn't the right word. Whatever we were going up against wasn't human, so we weren't exactly killing them. Now, where's our target? I opened up the map on my phone. The plaza by the train station's west entrance was displayed, and we were each represented by a yellow marker, just like last time. As for the red marker that showed our target... It's close! Really close. It was in the park with us. Stopped somewhere. We all started moving in that direction beneath the trees surrounding the plaza. We tried to stay in the shadowy corners away from the streetlights. What? No, it can't be. Minami, who had spotted the target first, was at a loss for words. I had the same impression. I checked the map again to be sure I hadn't made a mistake, but there was no mistaking it. Directly in front of us was a young girl singing and playing guitar. Apparently the girl I saw earlier was actually a specter. She couldn't have been much older than 20, a street musician, although I couldn't tell if she was amateur or pro. The song was pretty average. Her singing and guitar playing were actually not half bad. Something about trying your best even in dark times because tomorrow would be brighter. Uninspired lyrics over a cheerful melody. I know, I just wish she would drop dead a few minutes ago, but I wasn't expecting to personally beat her to death. She saw the four of us standing together and gave us a huge smile. She probably thought we were here to listen to her perform. It was so awkward I couldn't stand it. Hey, this can't be right, can it? Not sure. The two girls were conversing privately amongst themselves. Honestly couldn't believe it either, but just like last time, I moved in closer to the guitar-playing girl. As I did, I heard the buzzing sound of static. The girl's outline shifted and distorted like a corrupt video file. It was exactly the same as before. She was completely unaware of her transformation. In fact, it didn't seem like she had any clue that she was a specter, a departed spirit at all. I guess it isn't a mistake. Now we had confirmation. Even so, nobody was making a move. Literally. The businessman from the other day was the same way. He also looked completely human. It was obvious they weren't real people when they changed in response to our electricity. But it was impossible to get over how they looked and made things really difficult. It wasn't like we could just rush in and attack and kill her. Well, we should probably hurry up and get this over with. We know she's not human after all. I wasn't even close to convinced of that. But they didn't leave behind bodies or any other remains. And besides, we would be the ones to die if we didn't kill her. I didn't see any reason to wait. But the girls were still debating. In fact, they were both giving me icy looks just for stating the obvious. Kurosaka-kun is so heartless. I know he's right, but I still feel bad for her. They were both starting to sound like Mao. I always knew girls were useless in situations like this. Dead weights. Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from, but they outnumbered me 2-1, so I was going to try convincing them by putting my own idealistic spin on things. But before I could say anything, someone next to me suddenly moved. It was Tengen. Without wasting any time, he brought the leather billy club down on her head as hard as he could. He wasn't holding back. Was this guy for real? Didn't you read our instructions? They said not to waste time. Tengen said, his face pale and covered in the girl's blood. The blood turned to static and vanished. Doesn't that mean something bad will happen if we take too long? He had a point, or rather... Blood was gushing from her crushed forehead, and the girl let out a shriek. The sound startled me, and I turned to look at her. Her face twisted in fear and pain, and she ran away screaming. Oh well, now we had no choice, damn it. Now we gotta chase after her. We all took off after the running girl. Help! Someone please help me! She was begging for help from the large number of people at the park, but everyone ignored her. No, it was more like they couldn't even see or hear her. They couldn't touch her either. Because even though she looked completely human, she was a specter. An accumulation of electromagnetic data who didn't even know she was dead. No different from an audio recording on a CD or a video clip on social media. All it could do was repeat what already happened. The only ones you could see and touch her were the four of us. Because even though we may have seemed like living people, we were just corpses animated by electricity. Once our batteries ran out, we'd become worthless objects just like a brick smartphone. We were just pretending to be alive, but the truth was, we were dead. One kind of bogus life chasing after another. It was like a sick joke. But what even was life? I continued my mad dash after her as thoughts like that darted in and out of my brain. We ended up chasing her out of the park and into town. Unlike last time, we were in the business district and the trains were still running, so there were a ridiculous amount of people running around. The four of us ran through them as a group. Holy crap. That's the colonel. That's supposed to be KFC. Damn it. Can't we do something to stop this from happening? By the way, for those of you that don't know, KFC chicken in Japan is awesome. It's probably one of the lower chicken chains here in the States. But in Japan, I have been told the chicken is godlike. So I definitely would like to try to go to a KFC in Japan. If it was like this every time, the target might get away one of these days. In fact, we still weren't catching up to this one. I had to think of something. Like, maybe we could start by surrounding them next time. Have we caught up? Maybe it was the massive damage that had been inflicted right off the bat. But this whatever it was in the shape of a girl was clearly weakened. Blood was pouring from her head, and she was stumbling as she made her way into the business district. She bumped into countless pedestrians, but she would just turn the static and slip past them. Gradually and unsteadily, she made her way to a dark area where there weren't many people. Remember, folks, she isn't real. She's like a, again, like a movie that you watch, and it's just the scene of her death over and over again. She's, like, again, a static image. So don't worry about it. Help me, please! Finally exhausted, she cowered in the dark near a string of love hotels. Out of breath ourselves, we caught up and surrounded her. We'd run the whole way, so we were all dripping with sweat. Why are you doing this? She was curled into a ball looking up at us, scared out of her mind. I haven't done anything. Why? The fear on her face was obvious as she looked at us. As far as she was concerned, we were bloodthirsty maniacs. I'm sorry. Please forgive us. Seeing the girl crying and begging for her life, Manami's face twisted in sorrow. Believe me, we really don't want to be doing this, Iris said with bitterness. Just then, leave me alone. The girl's attitude suddenly changed. Her voice sounded electronic, like she was using a voice changer. The gray radio static distorting the outline of her body swelled and shook violently. Uh-oh, this might be a fight. Hey, what the? This was bad, wasn't it? I was just about to say that when... Leave me alone! I couldn't believe what was happening in front of me. The girl transformed. I realized how stupid that sounds, but her appearance changed in ways that weren't possible. It was like the special effects in a movie. Her arms and legs stretched and grew, her torso elongated, her clothes ripped and tore, turned to static and vanishing. All we could do was watch, slack-jawed. The reading on my weird shit-o-meter jumped by about 5 levels, and just when I was finally getting used to all this, I had no idea how to react. I shifted my line of sight upward. Wow. The specter was over 3 meters tall now. Oh, crap. I was in awe of her sheer size. Some kind of animal instinct in me was setting off alarm bells. Listen to my song! A giant fucking naked monster woman. I'm sure some of you think that's kind of hot. The moment I laid eyes on her face, I started screaming uncontrollably. I couldn't even think. All I could do was scream my lungs out. Minami also shrieked and recoiled. Hearing someone other than me scream finally snapped me out of my paralysis. All I could think of now was getting away. I took off running at full speed. Fuck this, I'm out! They expected us to take on this thing? What the fuck? On the verge of tears, I kept furiously pumping my legs. I was going so fast I couldn't keep up and almost stumbled several times. Faster, faster, must move faster, go legs! I wanted to look back so bad. I wanted to be sure that the thing wasn't following me. Actually, I just wanted to stop running as soon as possible. My heart was about to explode, and I felt like my legs were coming apart at the joints. I couldn't even count how many people I bumped into, but I didn't give a flying fuck about that. But I also didn't want to look. You couldn't pay me to look back there. Because what if it was still there? I heard footsteps following me for a while now. But that was just the others following me, right? Right? I looked back, and I saw what was running behind me. The face of a ghoulish woman with huge black eyes. A 3-meter-tall giant coming after me, waving its long, spindly arms and legs. Yeah! The fuck! But by now, everyone else must have scattered, right? So why the fuck was I the one it followed? How did I beat it and won the 4 odds? What did I do to deserve this? I was crying. I sobbed as I ran. Eventually, I started to wonder why I kept running. Because I knew if I stopped, I could end it all. At least then, I wouldn't have to deal with the scary shit anymore. But my body had a mind of its own, and it had no intention of stopping, whether that was running or living. I was already defeated, though. What was with the mixed messages? Why did I want to live? It was like my consciousness was just along for the ride in this animated bundle of flesh. What a strange feeling. Maybe I was thinking a little too much as I ran, because I lost my balance. I hit the ground hard and immediately picked myself back up. I was under an expressway overpass, a deserted roadway in the dead of night. I'd run pretty far from the business district to an unpopulated area. Cornered, I suddenly found myself facing down the monster one-on-one. That is to say, fuck! Its eyes were fucking huge and round like a cat's in the night. When they locked on the mind, it was like they sucked all the fight out of me. If it was gonna kill me, then I wanted to just get it over with. I'd rather die than have those terrifying eyes on me for another second. Listen! Will you listen to my song? The monster addressed me in a creepily distorted voice. Wait, was it actually talking to me or just to itself? I nodded my head in response. I started to feel the faintest glimmer of hope that it might let me go. You didn't listen. You didn't listen to my song! Suddenly the monster snapped. Because it was terrible, you bitch! With a scream of incredible rage and hatred, it reached both of its long arms out towards me. It grabbed my face in its giant hands. They felt cold and gross. And then it plunged its sharp thumbnails into both my eyes. Man, reminds me of a Slipknot song. My vision turned red and clouded, and I couldn't see anything. The monster gouged my fucking eyes out. Then my skull started cracking. It was trying to crush my head. It felt like my head was being clamped in a vice. Blood started dribbling out my nose. Stop! I thrashed desperately, forgetting how scared I was. I kicked furiously at the monster that I knew was in front of me, but it wasn't even fazed. Shit! Shit! Was I gonna die? Just then I heard footsteps rapidly approaching the monster from behind. A girl's shriek pierced my eardrums. Ira! I heard the sound of something hard and heavy colliding. I can't reproduce that. I could also feel the impact of my body. That's when the monster decided to drop me. Slowly, my vision started to return. My eyes had been gouged out, but maybe my optic nerves had already managed to heal somehow? I could hear some kind of crackling inside my head. Was the energy from my battery being used to repair the damage? It's like the robots. My body was even more bizarre than I thought. But at least this was some good news. I just wish I didn't have to learn it the hard way. Hey, get over here and help me! I snapped back to my senses. She was swinging a metal bat she picked up somewhere and wailing away at the monster. I was actually impressed. The monster was covered in blood. It was already turning to pixelated noise, and the shape of its body was losing coherence. It wouldn't take much more to finish it. That thought filled me with a surge of strength and courage. Taking the billy club out from the back of my pants, I started beating the monster in the back of the head. and let out a staticky yowl as if it were enraged. I had absolutely no idea what it was saying. The two of us kept pounding away for all we were worth. The monster distorted with each hit, chunks of its body breaking off and turning to static. We steadily chipped away at its massive body until eventually it became much smaller than a normal human, more like a small dog. It took me this long to notice, but each time we hit it, I could see some kind of electrical discharge coming from our arms. It was almost like the electricity running through our bodies was disrupting the database electromagnetic charge that formed the specter. Maybe that's what they meant when they said they were the only ones who could deal with them. As terrified and helpless as I felt, I realized this thing was just a giant pushover. Now it just felt like a job to finish, and we wrapped it up in no time. The specter had been pummeled beyond recognition, and its remains blew away like sand in the wind, leaving nothing behind. There was no more evidence that the girl had ever existed. I think it's over. Resting the bat on her shoulder, Ira wiped the sweat from her face. I think so. Man, that was fucking scary. I recalled the terror I had felt until just a few moments ago and let out an especially huge sigh of relief. Man, you're such a pussy. Look, I thought everyone ran away. Of course I didn't run, she said, glaring at me angrily. Besides, did you already forget what you said earlier? Huh? What was she talking about? Had I said something? I'll protect you, Ira, remember? Now I see you were totally full of shit. Oh yeah, I did remember saying something like that to get her off my back. But I mean, she wasn't supposed to take that seriously. I knew you were a wimp. Yeah, fine. I guess you're the stronger one when it comes to fighting. I didn't have the guts to take on a monster with a baseball bat. How can you even call yourself a man? That's pathetic, for real. Whatever, fine. I'll protect you then. She said, giving me an exasperated look. Now I was starting to feel fed up. I mean, we're in this together, all of us. Just how dumb was this girl? I thought she was pretty dumb to begin with. Anyone who could say with a straight face that they'd protect someone else when shit was hitting the fan like just now was a complete moron. But whatever, let her be an idiot. It just made her easier to use to my advantage. Yeah, I guess we are. I'm counting on you. I extended my right hand, and Ira gripped it with a grin. What did she think she was, the star of a shonen manga or something? What a dumbass, but I humored her with a smile of my own. After that, I took out my phone and opened up the messaging app. How are the others faring? Is everyone okay? I'm back at the park. I'm alright. On my way now. They'd already gone back to the park more than 10 minutes ago. These fucking guys. I thought I was gonna die back there. I started the ride back, suppressing my irritation. We managed to take out the target. Ira did most of the work, though. Really? Thank goodness. The charge hasn't started yet. Maybe we all have to be together first. Okay, we're coming back to the park. I closed the messaging app and Ira and I headed back together. Okay, so they usually charge with an orgy. So you guys are going to see maybe another orgy scene. We headed back to the park where we originally gathered. Where did you get that bat? I picked it up at the station. I spotted a sporting goods store while we were running. It's just too easy to use. I'm sticking with this thing from now on. She attracted a few odd looks from nearby pedestrians as she took some practice swings. Why was this girl so bright and bubbly? I just couldn't understand it. I mean, seriously. Just as Tengen suspected, once we were all together, the messages started coming in. I checked my phone. Excellent work, everyone. Your work for today is complete. Your compensation is now being issued, so each of you please check the charge level of your batteries. The terminal on my left arm started heating up and blinking. The charge indicator appeared on my phone's screen. I had been checking it multiple times daily to the point that it now felt more familiar than my own parents' faces. All that activity just now really drained it. That was close. The charge started. It felt like something solid was filling up my body from the inside. I had been below 20 when the charge indicator steadily grew until it reached 100. What a relief. Well, maybe relief wasn't the best word to describe it. Allow me to fill in the details. Your targets, the Spectres, are an accumulation of various data. So, they have no feelings or will of their own. They have a capacity for speech, but are limited to a predetermined set of actions. Think of them like the villagers in an RPG who can only repeat the same thing. The king is in his garden today. The king is in his garden today. The king is in... I'll stop. They suddenly started explaining. What the hell? So take that girl just now. She was standing there, happily singing, and even smiled when we showed up. They were telling us that smile is basically just her following a predetermined program? They have no feelings? But that girl ran away in terror when we started attacking her. And the man from the other night, too. How do they explain that? Tengen voiced his doubts and was having similar ones. However, because the Spectres are databased, they can be upgraded or altered. So, they have the ability to mimic or reproduce newly acquired data. They can utilize this ability to react. So, say for example, new external data is acquired from an attack. They can utilize that through mimicry or reproduction. They can create new data from external inputs generated by your attacks. This induces emotions like fear or anger. It means there's instances where they become stronger or fight back. When that occurs, they transform in fear or hostility. It's called demonization. There's a high probability of danger when this occurs, so the longer your attack is drawn out, the greater the risk of demonization. So please attempt to wrap things up as quickly as possible. Why didn't you say that earlier? You keep doing this on purpose, don't you? My sincerest apologies. I beg your forgiveness if I've offended you in any way. So basically what he said is they can take on a fear or emotion based on data manipulation. And if that happens, they can become demonized. And then you have to fight the monster versions of them. So it's best to take care of them quick before they can become demons. And it's a heck of a lot more difficult. And he also said that they become demons based on your perception of fear. So they become the thing that you fear the most. This guy is really starting to piss me off. Also, this is one of the only visual novels or eroge where you actually get to see a lot of the main character. But, to be fair, that also happened in Maggot Bates, which we definitely won't be playing on this channel, so do not ask! Except for those that already saw it. I'm talking on joystick, but yeah, on the platforms, a lot of you guys have already seen it on the other platform. They responded with a completely hollow, scripted apology. It was entirely possible this person had no conscience. But their apology, empty as it was, forced my hand. I was going to get them to tell us everything. What else are you hiding from us? What else is happening with our bodies? I've never heard of a serious injury like what happened to me healing so fast before. My apologies. I don't bear you any ill will, but I'm just a subcontractor. There are many things I don't know or can't answer for you. Given my own lack of knowledge, I would greatly appreciate cooperation from all of you, although I can answer your previous question. The cells of your rebooted bodies have been subjected to a particular kind of chemical treatment. They remember their configuration and have the ability to repair themselves when stimulated by electricity. This is also a physical injury suffered at the time of death. Does that mean we're immortal? So we die, but we can't be killed. That's fucking lit. Could you just shut up for 2 seconds? Naturally, this consumes electricity. Just because you can recover does not mean you should be reckless. That is all for tonight. I will contact you the next time there is work. So this actually gets a little hard. Okay. Okay, they remember the configuration of the ability to repair themselves when stimulated by electricity. That is also how the physical injuries suffered at your time of death were able to repair themselves. Does that mean we're immortal? So we die but can't be killed. That's pretty dope. Could you shut up for 2 seconds? Naturally, this consumes electricity. Okay, and we got that. It goes real fast. So they were hiding that from us too. What a piece of shit. That was also the first time I heard the phrase robot reboot bodies. A reanimated corpse, just like it sounded. Now that it was time to go our separate ways, there was a sudden change in the two girls. Just like before, their breathing was labored, their faces had flushed, and their eyes were moist. It looked like another episode of freakish sexual arousal brought on by the rush of adrenaline. In a similar vein, I was rock hard inside of my pants. I felt like the slightest breeze could make me come. But unlike last time, the trains were still running and there were tons of people around. I did everything I could to restrain myself. So what's everyone doing after this? Anyone want to go grab some food? And then find a hotel afterward? Of course I had ulterior motives. I was right on the verge of saying that since there was nothing we could do about it, we might as well act professional and enjoy ourselves. I'm sorry, but I need to go home. I left my son at home alone and I need to get back before my husband does. But sadly, Minami excused herself. So she was married, huh? Talk about a mood killer. And she had a kid on top of that. Maybe she was older than she looked. I was jealous of her husband. Imagine having those tits to yourself every night. Ah, really? Well, I'll see you then. I saw Minami off with a cheerful smile, all while furiously leaking pre-cum into my underwear. I'm out too. Well, I guess they're not gonna have sex. Sorry, guys. No sooner had I turned to Ira than she promptly excused herself too. I know if I stay behind, we're just gonna end up having sex. I don't need to have that on my conscience too. Will you be able to hold out? I've got enough fighting spirit to tough it out. Fighting spirit, huh? What a cringy thing to say in this day and age. Dragging the metal bat behind her, Ira disappeared into town. She looked almost heroic as she walked away, but I knew her panties had to be soaking wet. Tch, guess I just have to go home and deal with it myself. Unlike the girls, all I had to do was bust a nut to take care of things so I could jerk off to get by. It felt like a cop-out, but it had its advantages too. I mean, the girls can totally jill off as well, right? Hey, I'll stick around. I was just about to take off myself when Tengen of all people butted in. What's wrong? Oh no, it's nothing. You want to get some coffee at a convenience store? I resisted the urge to show my frustration as I entered a nearby convenience store. Obviously, I didn't feel like sitting down to a meal after a restaurant alone with this guy. I bought a cup full of ice for iced coffee and filled it up at the machine by the register. After that, we went back to the park and I sipped my coffee next to Tengen's miserable face. What was with this weird mood? Did some of your memories come back or something? I probed casually. Yeah, more like I found out on my own, about myself. He answered with a smile on his face. Light reflected off his glasses as he looked at me. His eyes seemed to say that he knew that I knew. In that case, there was no point playing dumb. I took the offensive. Well, I was really surprised when I found out, and honestly, I was scared. So was I, but why didn't you mention the fact that I was executed to anyone else? Isn't it strange that the facts surrounding my death weren't erased like for the rest of you? He had the same suspicions I did. That was the biggest mystery surrounding this guy. So who are you? It's just like, who's that guy? It was a movie. Like Jason Bourne. Are you really that tough? The silence scared me. I started rambling just to fill it. No, nothing like that. Tengen said with a bitter smile. Well, I understand you being wary around me. I'm a vicious murderer condemned to death. I wouldn't feel comfortable around someone like me either. But I have no intention of harming anyone. At least believe that much. I could tell that he was being sincere. He didn't seem like a vicious murderer. But it was also possible that he was killed just because... But it's possible that was just because he'd lost his memory. At one point in the past, this guy had killed his entire crew. In other words, I didn't see any reason to let my guard down or to start trusting him. I understand. This must be hard for you too, I said, flashing him a smile of my own. I lied through my teeth like it was the most normal thing in the world, just like always. Hey, what do you think of it? Tengen said as I sipped my coffee. The ice completely melted now. I was pretty sure he wasn't asking how the coffee tasted, though. Right now, we were up against the same challenge. That was all I could think about. It wasn't the time to be making small talk. What are your thoughts? Answering a question with a question, huh? Fine, whatever. What are the possible options? He thought for a minute before opening his mouth again. Maybe we're on a reality show with cameras watching us right now. A prank show, like what you suggested. I considered that explanation so many times. I really hoped it was all as simple as that. But... There's no way. This is all way too convoluted. Ultimately, it just didn't seem possible. I feel the same way. There are too many things it doesn't explain. The facts around our deaths being erased. The specters that vanished into electronic noise before our eyes. The fact that my eyes had just been gouged out, but they were already back to normal. It was too much to believe that all of that was just some kind of trick. All we can do is go along with it for now. You're right. We have to keep learning as much as we can before we can do anything. I'm sure they're still hiding stuff from us, too. I idly scanned our surroundings. Our friend from the messaging app who was always firing off instructions. Whoever it was had to be watching us from somewhere nearby. If we could somehow catch whoever was tailing us, we might be able to turn things in our favor. Well, I'm going home. I've got school tomorrow. I finished my coffee and stood up. Alright, see you around. Tengen remained on the bench in the park, taking in the nighttime scenery of Ikebukuro. I wondered how he spent his time each day. He seriously looked homeless. Well, it didn't matter to me either way. I had more important things to worry about, like this messed up sex drive. The truth was, I'd secretly been anxious to get home for a while now. I couldn't believe that set of tits, Minami, was married, and a mom. Believe it, brah. But actually, maybe that was a good thing. I wondered if she was lactating. Okay, buddy. I was so horny. Once I got home, those tits were coming out of the spank bank. That's what I was thinking as I headed towards Ikebukuro Station to catch the train home, disappearing into the crowd of people going the same way. Mero Minami. Mero Minami thought she had been blessed with good fortune. She married her sweetheart from her school days with the blessing of everyone around them. Her son had been born healthy without complications. Her life and her career were going smoothly, and she and her husband were planning to have their second child next year or the year after. Both of them had been only children, so they longed for a big family. She wanted to cherish her good fortune, and had no doubt that it would continue into the future. She thought that as long as she had held that faith, she could get through any misfortune that might befall her. But she also knew that some misfortunes could never be overcome, like the one that befell her on that day. I was on my way home after wrapping up my work in Ikebukuro. As soon as I was past the ticket gate at my neighborhood train station, I started walking toward home as fast as I could, practically running. And when I got back to the apartment, I went straight to my son's room. When I saw his sleeping face, his chest rising and falling as he lay peacefully in bed, I let out a sigh of relief. I was finally back home, back to my normal life. Our son, Yuto, would be turning 3 this year. He was still too young to be left unattended. This afternoon, I'd gotten a message that I had work. I'd gone out at night and left him alone. I'd been so worried the whole time. But I had no other choice. If I didn't go, then I would die, or so I'd been told. But I wonder if that's really true. I had my doubts from the start. My heart rate and breathing were normal, and I didn't feel any different from when I'd been alive. Most of all, I didn't want to believe that I'd died. I was still clinging to that idea. The thought of having to live the rest of my life like this made me despondent. Thankfully, he, my husband, Takeyuki, was late getting home. Somehow, I was able to leave and come back without him knowing about it. I imagine he would find out about all of this sooner or later. Just the thought of it terrified me. I was afraid that when he learned the truth, I would lose everything that was important in my life.
Yuku, Mama, どうしたらいいの?
What should Mama do? I clutched his tiny sleeping hand and stroked his soft skin. Why? Why did this happen? And then I remembered all the happy, uneventful days before that day. He came up and hugged me from behind right after I'd finished putting our son to bed. Yeah, don't,
Taka-chan.
I just put Yukun down. He might wake up. He reached under my arms to fondle my chest, squeezing it. At first it was through my pajamas, but eventually his hand slipped inside my clothes. His fingers sunk into the bare skin of my breasts. He shaped them as he desired. Suddenly my nipples were hard. He teased them with his fingertips, and I felt electricity deep in my belly. His experienced hands caressed me passionately, and I felt like I could just melt.
Ido.
Do you want to? Yeah. He already had a condom ready. He had decided to wait until Yuto was in kindergarten before having our second child. It was our fourth year of marriage. Naturally, we didn't do it as often as we used to. But his desire toward me hadn't changed at all. Sex with him was as fresh and exciting as ever. As our tongues intertwined in a passionate kiss, we collapsed onto the couch.
Taka-chan.
Mommy.
We turned out the lights in the living room and embraced on the couch, which had been unfolded flat into a bed, kissing again and again until my husband sat up. He slid off my pajamas and underwear and took out his already hard dick, preparing to put the condom on. He almost never left his clothes on, but it was just in case our son woke up. Give me just a sec. He spoke with embarrassment as he tore open the condom wrapper. I nodded slightly, gazing at his twitching dick, filling me with a mixture of affection and impatience. That's what they all say. It's so big! I knew it was indecent of me, but my heart was pounding, and I was breathing heavily with anticipation. I looked back and forth between his face and his dick. Okay, so, I'm gonna do this. Let's see if I can. Let's see. So hold on. There we go. We're going to switch it.
しょうがないわよね。だって久しぶりだもの。
少し待ってな。つけてあげようか?いや、大丈夫だよ。
無理にとかそうじゃないのに。だけどやっぱり何ヶ月も空いたら寂しくなっちゃうから。
お待たせ。行くよ。
あ、ゆっくりね。
ああ、分かってるよ。痛かったらすぐに言うんだぞ。
うん。
平気か？
平気。すごく大きい。太くて。そう、タカちゃんの、こんな感じ。
きつい。
きつい。
ああ、ちょっとな。マナミ、痛くはないか？
大丈夫。タカちゃん、おっぱい触りたいでしょ？
マナミの胸こそ大きいだろう。
やだ、恥ずかしい。暖かい。手のひら本当に暖かい。タカちゃんに包まれて。そこ、タカちゃんそこ。ねえ、タカちゃん。
ん？
いいのよ、タカちゃんの好きなように。その、私に遠慮しないで。
ああでも、静かにしないとな。
そこ、タカちゃんの手がすごく擦れて。私を気遣ってまだ我慢してくれている。赤ちゃん、私もう大丈夫だから。私にも気を使っているのよね。でも、これもこういうものなのかしら。
平気か、マナミ。
だけど。あのね、タカちゃん。
どうしたんだ？
タカちゃんの、すごく気持ちいいよ。私の中に、感じて。
マナミ。
タカちゃん。ちんちんをもっと私に感じさせて欲しかった。胸も。
ナナミ。
そう。そう、もっと。 ナナミ。私、もうダメ。
我慢しなくていいよ。
なってくれたのよね。タカちゃん。
ああ。
幸せだけど。私たち、エッチが済んだ後は黙って一人で服を着るだけよね。私たちはこれでいいのよね、
マナミ。
やっぱりこれでいいの。私はこれで今が幸せ。ねえタカちゃん、やっぱりユウくんに兄弟は欲しいよね。
うん、そうだね。
すぐには無理でしょうけど。
Alright everyone, so we're gonna go ahead and end it there. I gave you this scene. It was a little longer than I expected. I said we were gonna go to 2:15. We went to about 2:20. But alright guys, that's all we're gonna do for Dead Days this month. And of course we'll bring back Dead Days in November. So, alright guys, I'm out, and I'll see you next time on Grimm's Hentai Corner. Later.